What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Football Monday on this Tuesday here on WGR. Bills 3-0 after their romp over, the newspapery word back in the day would be listless. Jacksonville Jaguars team. How about pathetic? Ross Tucker on the line. Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Ross, how was your latest visit to Western New York?
Well, I would say uneven. I was very happy to meet you in person, Mike, which was fantastic, and I can't believe that never happened before. So I'm two for two, getting a chance to finally meet you guys in person, which is always great when I'm going to be on the phone. I thought the Bills press box food was outstanding, and you can get a full report on today's Raw Sucker Football podcast and or see the video at Ross Tucker NFL on social media. I mean, the pretzel bread, ham and cheese sliders, delicious. The wings were very good. I'm a big fan of how they have celery with wings.
Oh, yeah.
It balances each other out. You know, it's like celery evidently has no calories, so you literally are burning calories while you eat it. So my thing is I go wing, celery stick, wing, celery stick. It's like if I'm drinking, I'll go beer, water. Alternating is key. So everything was positive until the game started. Now, I say this all the time, like as a broadcaster, okay, I know every Bills fan loved it and it was great. As a broadcaster, I would do like the close competitive games. I don't want to say for free, but the close competitive games are fun. And I would do them at like a greatly reduced rate. Let's say that. Okay.
Yeah.
Games like last night, that's when we make our money. I mean, I had more life in the booth than the Jaguars did on the field. I was stunned by that. On my Even Money Betting podcast, I took the Jags getting 5.5 points. Because, you know, that's just the way the NFL works, right? There's going to be more 2-1 and 1-2 teams than there are 3-0, 0-3 teams. We saw that, for example, like the Broncos going into Tampa and winning that game. And that's just the way the NFL is, right? We know that Carolina went, the Giants. I mean, all these winless teams went on the road and got these wins. Well, guys, the Jags did not get the memo. I mean, after the first drive, I looked at the play-by-play guy and said, we're in trouble. So just so everybody knows, what you root for as a broadcaster, okay? I root for the best game possible, but no overtime so I can make my flight and or get home, right? that's literally what I root for. And last night was the opposite of that. Sure, there's part of me where it's fun to see the Bills, you know, this good and performing this well, and I think that's very cool, but I'll never appreciate or like when an NFL team approaches a game the way the Jaguars did last night. That was very, very disappointing.
Well, seeing as we're starting here, we'll get to what the Bills did well and how different it looks from other seasons where they've been also been a top-level contending type team. I said a few times today and even last night, Ross, that performance by Jacksonville is a coach gets fired kind of performance to me. Like they just were dead on their feet.
So a couple things. Number one is I literally tweeted that second quarter at Ross Tucker NFL. I said primetime blowouts get people fired. And I wasn't necessarily saying Doug Peterson, you know, maybe it's a coordinator, maybe it's the GM. I'm not calling out any one individual, but in my experience, okay, typically if you get absolutely embarrassed in a primetime game like that, usually the ownership is so embarrassed that a lot of times it does lead to changes and to someone getting fired. I was just stunned. I mean, they're 0-2. They've lost their last seven games. I kind of thought they were going to come out flying around. It's Monday Night Football in a primetime game. The first drive, both ways, it was like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, they hardly ever seemed like they even got the Bills in the third down. And even when they did, the Bills converted so easily. That looked like my high school against some of the high schools that stink. That looked like Ohio State against New Mexico Military Institute. It was bad.
Ross Tucker, so the theme, you've already gotten into it. The theme this year in like survivor pools is just, it's devastation. Joe Ostrowski runs one, high stakes, 206 people. He's down to 7 in 3 weeks. The escape route is the Bills. They are now up to 44 games in a row where they have not lost by more than 6 points. And I don't know what that is ultimately worth, Ross. One thing that's memorable about our conversations last year, and you said a couple times, you just rhetorically, the Bills will go to the playoffs. They're going to play Kansas City. They're going to play Cincinnati. Can you see them winning? You know, bottom line. And you were kind of like, I don't think so. And that happened. And is this year different, or is it too early to even go there?
I don't think it's too early to go there. A couple things real quick. Number one, you know, I've been critical in the past of some of the things with Sean McDermott. That stat that you just gave, that's an incredible Sean McDermott stat.
Yeah.
Incredible. Because what that tells you, and I mean positive, mm-hmm. what that tells you is he always has them prepared from a scheme standpoint, right? Like, they have a good enough scheme and game plan for the game that they're going to be competitive. That's number one. And then number two, mentally and emotionally ready to play. I mean, that is extremely impressive. I mean, extremely impressive to me. That's a great stat. I would also say I can see the Bills winning this year against those teams. I mean, Cincinnati's having major struggles, but there's something that feels a little bit different, and I'm probably as surprised as anyone that I've called it Bills 2.0, you know, with no more Morse, no Gabe Davis, no Stephon Diggs, you know, no Poyer, no Hyde, no Tre'Davious White. I mean, you're talking about six starters right there that, you know, have been starters, it seems like, for the last 4 years that they don't have anymore. But there's something special about this team right now. Part of it is they're running it better. And it really started with Joe Brady getting the job last year. He wasn't one step ahead of the Jags defensive coordinator last night. He was two steps ahead. I mean, he is impressive. And then, so they're running it better. And then when they do throw it, they're spreading it around more. And how about two games in a row where Josh didn't even get close to having any turnover-worthy plays? Not only did he not have turnovers, guys, none of those plays were even close. I said this last night during the broadcast. I've said to you guys a million times, and I said it on CBS during the Cardinals game when he fumbled. I said, this is just part of the Josh Allen experience. This is who he is, and you got to live with it for better or for worse. You know, after these last two games, both of which I've watched every play and called them on radio, you know, maybe he has changed a little bit. You know, maybe being able to spread the ball around to a bunch of people, maybe the run game, maybe he's not going to have the costly turnovers that hurt them so much. And then the defense is a whole other story. I mean, they don't have their three best defensive players. They don't have their entire second level of the defense, and they're still just totally stuffing these teams, which give a lot of credit to McDermott and to Bobby Babich. I mean, he's a first-time D coordinator, and the Cardinals moved the ball on them, but the Cardinals are pretty good. Since really the first half of the Cardinals game, it feels like that's now what? 10 quarters in a row where Bobby Babich's defense has more or less put these teams on lockdown.
With Ross Tucker, Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Something that really stood out to me last night, Ross, from Allen specifically, we've all seen him make the spectacular plays that you can't believe and leaping over tall buildings and the single bound and all that stuff. The precision last night, obviously he had a ton of time to operate with, but the ball to Shakir for the touchdown, the Coleman touchdown, the Ty Johnson touchdown, everything was just right where it needs to be. Like, those guys weren't wide open. They were open, but not like, you know, just put it wherever you want. And they didn't have to break stride. I mean, even the Cook dropped a ball in the end zone that was also just dropped right in the bucket. It was just a different Allen. Not that we haven't seen him be really accurate before, but, man, I just felt like it was precision at another level than we're even used to from him.
Well, I agree, but I'm going to take it a step further and kind of go back to what I was saying about the maturity and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he not only did he not have any turnover-worthy plays, but when he ran, I want to say multiple times he slid.
Mm-hmm.
Multiple times he ran out of bounds. He didn't even put himself really in harm's way. And there were plays where I said, you know, second half, I said, you know, the old, or I guess the young Josh Allen, he would have thrown the ball to somebody there. He would not have been able to do what he did there and just thrown the ball away. Or I said he would have tried to run for that first down or that touchdown and jump over somebody or run through somebody. And maybe it was because they had such a big lead that he didn't do that. You know, that might be part of it. But, man, if they can get that Josh Allen, if he's a little bit less reckless with both the ball and his body, I'm very, very excited for you guys.
Well, I wonder if he's got the left hand in the glove and the middle two fingers are taped together. And to me, I feel like, especially the first slide of the game on the third and five run, the quarterback draw on the first drive, I felt like he's going down and he's covering that left hand. Like, he might know he can't take a shot on it. So I think that might be, like, and I hope it continues even when the hand is healthy, because it's good to see him preserving himself. But I think the hand could be a reason why he's being like you're describing.
Well, and I don't know. I mean, we can't keep hurting his hand so that he keeps doing it. That's not a good option. But
right.
Maybe we can at least maybe him at least having to protect it and playing this way, maybe that's enough so that he goes ahead and learns that he can play this way. Because, you know, the other thing about it, guys, I want him to play for a long time. He's probably my favorite player in the NFL. So I love that he's not being as reckless with his body. And, yes, that is part of what makes him so entertaining. And on some level, so is the turnovers. But I'd rather see 90 to 95% Josh Allen for 10 more years than 100% Josh Allen for 5 more, if that makes sense.
Ross, it's Baltimore now on Sunday night. The Bills go at Baltimore, at Houston, at the Jets, their next 3. Now, I'm with you on Jacksonville's performance. Just like, it was fun. It was easy. But I don't know what, like, the merits of it. The Ravens have had an interesting start. A couple of things there, it seems. Their offensive line is in rough shape. They're getting thrown on. Mark Andrews doesn't seem to mean anything anymore. Four routes against Dallas. So maybe there's a little bit of a transition moment for the Ravens. Maybe it's one we kind of expected the Bills to struggle with this year, but not really so far. The line didn't move, and I think you would maybe have noticed that or found that interesting. Bills win 47-10. It's still Ravens minus 2.5.
That I did think that was interesting. You know, the Mark Andrews thing, I can't imagine. He's got to be hurt. I mean, I don't know what else there could be there. I know they really like Likely, but otherwise, I mean, trade him. You know, he'd be the best tight end for like 20 teams, you know?
Yeah.
And people would really use him. So that situation's bizarre to me. I haven't studied them close enough to see if they have him blocking a little bit more, which wouldn't surprise me with the three new guys on the offensive line, because that's been a factor for them.
Yep.
Certainly breaking in those new guys on the offensive line has made it a little bit of a transition year for sure. And that's one reason why I thought the Chiefs were sort of uniquely positioned to be able to three-peat this year, is that it felt like both the Ravens and the Bills were having a transition year from a personnel standpoint. The Bills, it seems like it's gone flawlessly, at least so far. The Ravens, not as much, although that was pretty impressive, you know, the way they were dominating Dallas for most of that game. But then they had this weird thing where they get really close, like they either blow the game or almost blow the game every week. It's really bizarre. They get a lot of early leads, and then they have a trouble hanging on to them, which is so weird.
Do you have this game, or are you and the Bills taking some time apart?
We're finally taking some time apart. I have a doubleheader, so I've got Browns at Raiders for CBS Sunday 4:25. So you guys can check that out. And then two more Monday nights in a row. This Monday night I have Titans at the Dolphins, which is not a good game on paper. They're both in the bottom five of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast power rankings. But two things. One is there's a pretty good chance it'll at least be competitive, which I'd settle for.
Right.
And number two, you got to throw out the records when getting out of the basement in the Ross Tucker Football Podcast power rankings are on the line. I mean, that's what these teams are really playing for. Forget playoffs or seeds. I mean, they care greatly about my arbitrary power rankings, and they want to move up.
You'll be in the air a lot, it sounds like.
Yes, I will. Out to Vegas Friday, red eye from Vegas to Miami Sunday night. Do the game Monday night, Tuesday afternoon or morning, back to Pennsylvania. That's been sort of a theme so far. Although I just looked and it's 100 in Vegas and 90 in Miami right now. So I'm going from, I guess, hot and dry. Oh, I'm going from like rainy and kind of gross around here, like it was in Buffalo last night, to hot and dry and then hot and humid. I have no idea. I did the Bills-Dolphins game, as you guys know, last Thursday. I have no idea how people...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll live down there. I mean, I was outside for 2 minutes, and I was miserable. I was, like, drenched in sweat. I would take 10 showers a day.
Yeah.
If I lived in South Florida. I mean, I don't know how those people live.
I don't know either. People in Vegas ought to be in a really good mood after they, had the big dramatic win to come back and beat Baltimore and then get beat by Andy Dalton in Carolina. So, real quick, what did you think of Antonio Pierce with the business decision comment after the game?
Well, I mean, he and I were teammates in Washington. We both made the as undrafted rookie free agents with Marty Schottenheimer. So he doesn't really mince his words. He and I got along well because we both really, really loved football, had an edge, and had a belief as to the way it should be played. He was not the most physically gifted guy, but was super smart and played really hard. So he probably has a low tolerance for guys that don't play as hard as they should or don't want to hit, don't want to tackle. And that's the way I am as well. When I watch offensive linemen that won't finish their blocks, it drives me nuts. So he probably saw it, called it out. He was asked about it yesterday, and he said, "I didn't bite my tongue. I meant what I said." So now I'm curious to see. I watched the game. I there's a couple plays maybe where guys – passed up tackles a little bit. It wasn't that obvious to me, so I'll be curious to get out there and find out what changes he makes and who he's talking about.
I think it's Adams. There's new updated live betting on where he's going. The Jets are the heavy favorite. I wonder if you'll get those vibes this weekend. We will talk next week and find out. Thank you, Ross. Great meeting you.
Sounds great. Absolutely, Mike. I'm glad you texted me. Thank you so much. Talk to you guys next week.
All right, there you go. There's our man, Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May yo game day be delicious. And in part by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
What did last night mean to the MVP odds? Lots of MVP chants echoing around the stadium all night. 803-0550, we'll hit that and talk some more after sports. No Taron Johnson or Terrell Bernard against Baltimore. Sean McDermott made that known a few minutes ago. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
I feel like in the previous years, like, everybody knew exactly where the football was going, which is cool. Like, we had Diggs and we had those guys, Gabe. We knew exactly where the ball and was going. Now we have a whole Rolodex of guys that could do it. We could leave the ball in Cook's hand. We could put it in Dalton's hand. We could put it in Knox's hand. We could put it in 13. We could put it on 0. Like, we could put it on 10. We could put it on 15. Like, we could put it on so many different guys at any point in the game. And I think that that's what is keeping the game more exciting and more fun, because don't nobody know where that ball is going.
I'm over here frantically waving my hand. Don't forget 26. Ty Johnson, don't forget 26. Another big pass play to him. There was one in Miami, and he catches a touchdown there before halftime last night. He is, in terms of yards, I guess still fifth, but for a backup running back, not nothing.
Pretty good. Look, there are a lot of plays in the game, and I've been saying all day the precision. That throw maybe didn't look like one of the greatest throws we've ever seen the dude make, because it didn't look that spectacular, but rolling to his left and just putting that out there where he had to put it out there, like the arm angle, the launch angle it was just super impressive. I think, like, I don't want to be like fanboy crushing like a lunatic or anything, but sometimes something that doesn't look that spectacular actually is, and I feel like that was some version of that. That's not an easy throw at all for anyone to make, and I'd go as far as to say, like, it looks to me like he practices that throw. Like, I don't think you just accidentally get out there rolling, you know, the opposite way. I mean, what does everybody say about him? Get, you know, don't want him rolling right. He's going to kill you rolling right. It's true of a lot of guys that are right-armed quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Man, going out to the left there, across the – just, man, it was a fantastic throw. And right – I mean, just right on the money. Had to drop it in over a defender at the pylon. Just precise is what he was yesterday.
You know what else? The Bills catch everything.
Except James Cook.
Except James Cook. I know. I couldn't even.
Shakir's got 14 targets this year. He's got 14 catches. Talk about catching everything. Like, that dude just catches. Put it on him. Put it near him. It seems like he's bringing it in.
Kincaid back of the end zone. That's not an easy catch. The 13-3 play. So, not the night for spectacular contested catches. It was more about the passing, I think. But Cook notwithstanding, they catch everything. Gloves. It's always about Allen's left glove. But
everybody's got
everybody
gloves.
In football now has amazing gloves. One-handed catches. McLaurin in the end zone last night. How? Guys, there's no flag there, by the way. Maybe it just didn't need to because he caught the pass.
Right.
What if they find out on that McLaurin touchdown that, like, his toe was out? And they can't throw the flag then. The guy's literally bear hugging him when the ball arrives. Catches it. Everybody catches everything. Just, like, put it close.
Yeah.
Boy, Ross Tucker, has he ever been more right than about celery?
Oh, I got to think. He does make a lot of good points.
Poor celery. I was in the suite with work last night, wings, celery. We had the same spread that some of the same food items he's talking about. And the celery, I see the celery, I'm so happy. I'm not like the biggest wings guy in the first place, but this big, big carrot came along and suddenly it just took over.
Yeah.
Celery is just, you want to eat the celery, but not the carrots.
Yeah, that really used to be celery's domain.
Totally.
And I miss, it's very rare to me you go out anymore and get the big chunks. Like, everything costs so much. So, you know, the celery, they're skimping on the celery. And frankly, I don't like it.
I don't like it.
I miss the big chunks of celery.
Get to the MVP voting, the odds here in just a minute. We're not voting yet. Sorry. If we were, Allen would win. Here's Scott with us. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. I appreciate you taking the call. Yeah, I just wanted to comment, on the James Cook drop, which was, I'm a big fan of the wheel route. I think it's one of the best routes that's ran in football. But it was interesting from last night's game. When he dropped that, I had a different feeling that I probably hadn't had in a long time, which was it almost doesn't matter because I knew within a play or two we were going to be back in the end zone, and we were, right? I think that was the first down play, and by third down, Josh had already thrown another 20, 30-yard pass right back into the goal.
That's right.
Right, is that Shakir's touchdown there that came after that?
Yes. Yeah. Great finish on that run.
Yeah, that's another play where I made a sound. The way he got hit right at the goal line, I thought his hip was going to be in 50 pieces. I mean, he just got so, it looked like he ran into like a turnstile that wasn't turning or something. Just like, boom! It's just like, you're done. Like, oh no! And he, thankfully got right up. But holy cow, that looked like, maybe it looked worse live on TV as it happened than it really was. I don't know, but it looked like a shot.
Yep.
So glad, anyway, McDermott hasn't said anything, so I guess he's okay. But I was scared.
He stayed in the game.
Because that's my dude, Shakir.
Thank you, Scott. Fantasy friends are debating today, rest of season, Shakir versus Xavier Worthy.
Well, tell him what's right. You know what's right.
I said Shakir. I would rather have Shakir right now, rest of season, over Xavier Worthy.
That's what we like to hear, folks.
Worthy doesn't get the ball. Right. Like, there are going to be some explosive plays. He's the fastest guy ever. But
yeah. I thought all along if they trusted him, it's all about availability of the slot snaps. Like, is that his spot or is he in a timeshare, whatever, two tight ends. He's their slot receiver. And Allen will feed that if he trusts it, like he did with Beasley. And this guy he does a lot of the same stuff. I'm saying he's as expert as Beasley. Beasley was one of the best slot receivers in football when he got here, and then even grew from there because of the opportunity he had here with Allen as Allen was ascending. But Shakir is shifty and smart and, like, you know, so knows how to beat man coverage. He's got some of the best numbers separation in the league already this year. Certainly knows how to exploit zone and can do something with the ball in his hands. Do a lot with the ball, not just something. Beasley was very much, especially at the end, was just a catch it and fall down kind of thing. He wouldn't run away from anyone, make anybody miss. Shakir is great in the field, in the open field with the ball in his hands. So I think that that's going to continue. I think it's the reason I thought he'd be of the wide receivers. I still thought Kincaid would outpace him receptions-wise. I'm not as sure of that sitting here right now.
It's not going to happen.
But I thought Shakir would get the trust because he catches everything.
It's not going to happen. I think you can stop worrying about that. Not that you were worried, but Kincaid is not going to lead this team in catches. They're just not putting – I guess, you know, this is probably how it should be. But when I'm trying to predict this stuff, it's the first thing I think about is the draft capital. So organizationally, you'd want perfect world. You're pumping Dalton Kincaid into your offense, and the pick looks great, and the player looks great, and okay, yeah, it makes sense. Even though he wasn't a wide receiver in name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, it makes sense. That's not happening. Like, Knox ran more routes in the first half last night than Kincaid. He's a tight end. He's not. He'll play, you know, out wide sometimes. So is Knox sometimes. Like, the variety is the point this year. But Kincaid's a good player. He can catch the ball. He's big. He had a couple of really nice plays last night. He's got 8 catches for the year in 3 games. That's the pace. Sucks for fantasy, but so does every other tight end, at least.
Right.
So you don't have to be too upset if Kincaid's your guy. Look at it. Laporta, nothing. Then hurt. McBride, okay, now hurt. Kelsey, nothing. Andrews, literally nothing.
Kittle, hurt.
Kittle, hurt. Kittle was going, hurt. Pitts catches one pass and the world erupts. Tackled at the 1. Still, like, that's good. A 50-yard pass. That's it.
Yep.
You know, Engram hurt. Njoku hurt. Should I go on? That's 9 guys, right? Are we at Ferguson now? Ferguson's good, but hurt last week, back this week.
Yep.
It's a disaster.
Yep.
And Kincaid is right in there. At least he's not injured. But you're also not getting any points. That's what you want. You want, if the guy's injured, then maybe someone else will give you points. You don't want just 8, 6 points, whatever it is. Josh Allen, according to BetOnline, is the new MVP favorite today. This moved last night. I am looking at the live odds right now on their site. It's Allen plus 250, Mahomes plus 260, a virtual tie. And then it's way down to 1,400 for CJ Stroud and who? Three guesses. I'll give you 3 guesses. I'm going to say, with respect, I'm going to say you don't get it in 3 guesses.
Well, last time we fooled around with this, the answer was Derek Carr. Could he still be up there? I mean, he moved a lot. I don't know if he was ever how high he got. So I don't know. Sam Darnold?
Is that a guess?
That's a guess.
That would have been my guess. Incorrect.
Okay.
25-1. I mean, bet it. Allen is, while you're thinking, if you're thinking, the heavy betting favorite right now to lead the NFL this year in touchdown passes. Darnold has more so far. 8-7.
Could Aaron Rodgers be on this list?
You got it. You did get it right. Aaron Rodgers at 14-1 with Stroud. So it's still so early, but it's 2 guys. Then Hurts, Burrow, Jackson, Purdy, I mean, all seem like kind of long shots already.
Yeah.
Darnold doesn't, but I don't think the market really trusts him to keep up his play. Could Dalton win?
No.
If they're a playoff team, come on, maybe?
No. No.
He's been the best quarterback in the league this year.
The MVP is not this feels good. He's come back. What a night. No. No. And it's not, come on.
I know.
It's not going to last.
You got to win 13 games.
Yeah, good luck with that team. Winning 13 games.
I know. They're not going to win.
They're going to win.
They're not going to win half that.
Yeah. Good luck.
But it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, that happened. Al, we talked about it in the summer. It's been there for him all through this. If you were paying attention to it, the way it works, you know, we're all just people out here. We're watching football, covering football. Some of us, not you and I, have, you know, votes. And okay, well, who's most deserving? And I said many times in the summer, if he has the same year he had last year and they win the division and they're the 2 seed, what? Give me last year's playoff seedings even, with Baltimore number one. Jackson's not getting near it unless he has a more incredible year or something. Allen, with the perceived disadvantages roster-wise, all the turnover, he'll just get so – and he hasn't won it yet. And there's a debate if he's overrated or not by some lunatics. It all will just snowball into this is his year. You know, they have to have the season as a team to go with it. But last night was huge for that for him. I mean, the odds tell
prime
you.
Time.
The odds tell you it was huge for him.
Right on. Paul Hamilton joins us at 6. The Sabres have another preseason game tonight. And most of the big club is on its way to Germany for that whole thing. An exhibition game or two and then the regular season next Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Football Monday continues next. This is WGR. Football Monday on a Tuesday here on WGR, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Had a great time at the stadium last night. My first ever game with my wife. My first game in the seats in many years.
I mean, now you got to keep going. This is the, yeah, this I was is getting, the, you and your wife both. I hope you're prepared for this commitment. This
I was
is,
getting those texts.
This is like some version of Lucky Pants.
It is.
I mean, it goes back a long way.
2006.
Good for you out there if you remember Lucky Pants.
The game was over, and we're like, what are the kids doing at home? So we made the decision to leave at halftime, but not before the Corgi Cup.
Oh, you had to see that, eh?
Had to see the Corgi Cup. 3 races. Man, did we get paid off. Okay, 3 races. Two heats.
I saw some footage of it must be a very tiny camera attached to one of these coins.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Isaac Cam or something. Margo Cam. The debate continued into the morning whether our puppy would run a straight line. I mean, some dogs did, some dogs didn't. Even in the Corgi Cup, some of these dogs that qualified for the Corgi Cup went sideways. They did not even start the race. You know, what are we doing here? They might have been thinking. Would your dog run 40 yards in a straight line? How hard is that training? Or is that just sort of natural? You're at the other end.
I think if I'm at the other end, Fred would run right to me.
40 yards.
Yeah.
Bright lights.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
a lot of noise.
Yeah. He's a show-off. He would love an opportunity like that.
I want that for every dog. I want every dog to have a chance to run a 40-yard dash. And, you know, my wife is very confident Margo would not run a straight line. She would run everywhere, and you'd never catch her. But I don't know. I feel like she deserves a little bit more respect than that.
Yeah. Well, she's young.
My dog.
She's young.
Yeah. Not my wife. My dog, I mean.
Yeah.
I think she would nail it. I don't know if she's faster than these Corgis, but I guess I'll never know. It was cool that they had that. They have it at different stadiums.
Yeah, cool. Fine. Yeah.
Yes. Whatever. We made the decision to leave at halftime. We'd seen the show. Now, we got to wait for the dog races. So you got me a little bit longer because of the dog races.
I'm pretty sure Fred would put these Corgis in the ground.
Oh, boy. Fred. Yeah, he's a beast. Paul Hamilton after sports here on WGR.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.